This is Fresh Air. Gangster movies often give us the chance to see offbeat performances by great character actors, but it's usually male character actors who star in the films. More often than not, the leading actress is the beautiful Moll. But in the new film The Craze, you can see the British actress Billy Whitelaw give a compelling performance as Violet Cray, the devoted mother of twin gangsters. The movie is based on the true story of Ronnie and Reggie Cray, who ruled London's underworld in the 60s and are currently serving life sentences in England. Billy Whitelaw is a prominent British actress who isn't as well known in America as she is at home, where she's received awards for her work in theater, television, and film. She had a close working relationship with the late playwright Samuel Beckett, who wrote several plays for her. American audiences probably know her best for her roles in The Omen and The Dressmaker. American actresses, especially character actresses, find that there are very few good roles available for them. I asked Billy Whitelaw if she's faced a similar problem in England.
Yes, I mean, I have been very lucky. I have played some marvellous roles in my time, but you're right, and it's exactly the same here. There seem to be far more exciting roles for actors than there are for actresses, I think by a ratio of 10 to 1. Why that is, I don't know. Perhaps it's because most of the writers are male. But you're absolutely right, and it is the same here. Most of the interesting leading roles in theatre and in film are male, but that goes right back to Shakespeare's time, doesn't it?
Now, I understand you had pneumonia during the making of the movie.
On the second day of shooting, I went down with pneumonia, yes, and I was in hospital for 2 weeks. And throughout the entire making of the film, I had a nurse with me from 6:30 in the morning to 8:30 at night. I got through it. It was all right.
Is there anything that you could use in the fever or the illness for the part?
No. No, unfortunately, absolutely nothing. It was, because I felt very weak. No, it was just a question of getting enough stamina to get me through the day, to be absolutely honest. And the nurse I had with me was marvellous, and I had injections and tablets and inhalers and physiotherapy across my back. No, it was just getting through the day. And in fact, a couple of the scenes I just couldn't make. I had to run down a street, and the actual giving birth scene, which obviously went on for more minutes than you actually saw on the screen, I spent a whole day shooting that, as that's always the way with films. You knock yourself out for 2 days and you see 2 seconds of it on the screen. Well, I found that very, very exhausting, and I had to stop part of the way through. Almost like giving birth in real life, perhaps. I don't think I felt quite as exhausted when I was actually giving birth myself. It was I found the mock giving birth a little harder than actually giving birth.
you're all recovered, I take it.
Yes, I am. Thank you very much. Yes, I feel much better.
What's your interpretation of the mother in this story, of a mother who is very devoted to her two sons, and they're both gangsters?
Yes, the only way I could sort of get to terms with that half of Violet is to elect, as Billy Whitelaw, the actress playing Violet, I elected not to see that side of my sons, of the boys. I know it is possible, and God knows medical case histories are full of things like this, where you can elect not to be aware of something if what is staring you in the face is just too terrible for you to absorb. And I think she so loved these boys, I think she elected not to take that on board, not to absorb it.
Did you visit the Cray twins in their prisons?
No, I didn't. Reggie, you can't visit because he actually is in a high security prison. Ronnie is in a psychiatric hospital, and he can have visitors. Ronnie said I would be more than welcome to go down and see him, but I professionally elected not to because I didn't want to get the real life Ronald Cray confused with my theatrical Ronnie Cray. Do you know what I mean? I had in my mind, and actually in my working day, an experience of the two boys, Gary and Martin, who were playing my sons. And I felt, had I gone to see Ronnie, it would have become confusing. I'd have been putting Ronnie in Gary's place instead of acting with Gary.
You age around 30 years in the movie, and you age in increments. You know, there's not a sudden shift from one period to another. What was done for your makeup? Did you watch it getting put on? And I wonder what the experience was like of seeing yourself gradually age over 30 years.
Well, it actually doesn't happen gradually when you're sitting in front of the makeup. I've had it done before. It's not very nice. They actually stretch the skin on your face in between a finger and thumb and stretch it and then paint a rubber solution on it and hold it until it dries. And just before it dries, it's a bit like putting what we call household adhesive on your face just before it dries. Then they squash your face up a bit like a prune. And it all sticks, and it's very horrible when it goes around the eyes. In fact, I requested that they didn't put too much around the eyes, that I was somewhat flattered that they thought I needed quite so much.
One of the things I like most about your performance in The Craze was your voice, the way you spoke. And I thought that there was something very musical about the way you spoke. And I'm wondering if when I'm wondering if when you get a part, you almost see it as a score.
Well, I think if I'm doing an accent, I think all accents are musical. In The Craze, I don't use the same accent as I'm using now. I don't know whether you can tell the difference. I'll do a bit for you in Cockney. In The Craze, I talk like that, you know, and she's a Cockney. She comes from the East End, and she talks like that. Well, I don't talk like that. And whenever I do an accent, which I do very often, I think each accent has its own music, and I never worry about saying the actual words correctly. I think if I get the music of the accent right, then people will believe that I come from that part of the world. So in that sense, yes, you're right, Terry, in that sense, yes, I do tackle things musically.
You work very closely with Beckett. He wrote some of his pieces for you. What was the collaboration process like when you were actually working on one of his plays?
Well, it's a bit of a mystery, really. I know, first of all, we just got on well. I feel that I was just part of his ongoing process of creating a role. I just put myself totally in his hands and bent over backwards to try and do and achieve what it was he wanted me to do, and to sound and create the music that I thought he wanted. And we didn't intellectualize, we didn't analyze, we didn't dissect the plays and the dialogue. We went for the music, and I felt in my gut that if the music of the piece was right, it would work for him.
When you say that you worked almost musically, what does that mean?
We would just conduct each other. We would say, let's say, Happy Days or Not I, which is a sort of raging, rambling monologue of a vocal vomit, I call it. We would just sit and talk to each other and just recite the lines over and over and over and over again. And I would, whenever I went to the bathroom, whenever I went to the shower, I drove my family mad. I was just repeating this stuff over and over and over again. And if I would bump into Beckett in a corridor, or I would break into it and he would join me. In fact, both of us, practically every photograph he and I have had taken together, we're both of us conducting each other.
Did you sometimes feel that you almost had to rely on the music of the speech because the actual meaning of the speech was obscure?
I never worried about the meaning. I know it sounds dreadful, but I didn't, and Sam knew this. I felt what it meant intellectually. I didn't care what it meant. It's very arrogant of me to say that, but it's true. And he didn't seem to mind. I never knew what they meant intellectually, but I can feel what they meant. They're all about the story of my life, most of them. I mean, me as Mrs. Every Woman, not me as Billy Whitelaw, because he's writing about Billy Whitelaw in particular. I recognise the condition, and that's what I wanted to come out of my mouth, and that was the battle.
When you started your acting career, I think you became known as one of the new working class actors who were coming along, and you made several of the realist working class films that became known as the kitchen sink style. Why was it such a departure to be a working class actress?
Well, we didn't have the theatrical tradition that you have in America, where you have sort of the group theatre and Clifford Odets and writers like that. We had a different tradition here of the classical theatre, and our popular boulevard theatre were people like Noel Coward and John Gielgud and writers like Terence Rattigan. And I'm now going to do what, as a child, when I heard proper actors and actresses, which I didn't think I was, they seemed to speak something like this. Their voices were sort of rather what we call here South Kensington. Now, I didn't speak like that at all. I came from a part of England where there... Could you tell the difference in my voice there?
Yes, I could.
Or not?
Yeah,
you could.
Definitely.
Well, that's how proper actors and actresses spoke. And until we lot from the north of England, most of us invaded London. Unless you spoke like that, you didn't... You weren't employed, unless you were employed as an actor playing funny little common secretaries or funny little waitresses or the leading lady's funny little friend.
Were you afraid that you wouldn't ever be able to break in because you were not proper in your speech?
Well, no. I mean, I had an inferiority complex, which was as tall as the Empire State Building, because I came from a North Country working class family. But when I came down to London, which is the time that a whole lot of people came down and things changed, Joan Littlewood was changing the face of the theatre here, and Albert Finney was breaking moulds here. And we all seemed to arrive at the same time. And I suddenly found the way I spoke, which was a broader than I'm speaking now, I had a North Country accent, was fashionable.
Did you ever end up doing Shakespeare in the classics?
I did, and for someone who came from where I came from, I ended up playing Desdemona opposite to Laurence Olivier at the National Theatre, so that was quite a jump for me.
Did you feel that you had to do a different kind of accent to do Shakespeare?
Martita Hunt, who is a marvellous, marvellous actress. I remember her saying to me once, "My darling girl, are you aware that when you go on the stage sometimes, you put on a funny voice? You don't need to, you know." And I took cognizance of that. Yes, I was putting on a funny voice, you're right, Terry, but I don't think I did eventually. I don't think I do now. I mean, the way I'm speaking now is me. It's me. It's a bit, it's the edges are around it, but... that is my own natural voice.
The two recent movies that I've seen you in, The Craze and The Dressmaker, are both set during World War II in England. They're both about women keeping families together without adult men, without fathers or husbands around, or at least not around very much, not around much to like really matter a lot. Both of these movies are in a lot of ways about the ties between women. What was your war experience like?
Horrible. I was what's laughingly called a war baby. Now, I was in Coventry during the war. I'd be six, and actually they've just celebrated now 50 years of the dreadful blitz at Coventry, 3 days, which I remember as though it were yesterday, when Coventry was annihilated. It was bombarded. I can still hear it in my head. Yes, I was bombed during the war. And my father was still at home because he was hard of hearing. He was deaf, but there weren't very many men around. They were all away fighting.
What was the effect of the war on your family?
Well, I it is something that you... I always get a bit astonished when people say, oh, they were marvellous days and the great camaraderie. I thought it was awful. It made me a great pacifist. I thought people really shouldn't do this to each other, you know. My sister was injured in the bombing, and I didn't like seeing people being wounded. I didn't like being frightened night after night with all this stuff dropping out of the skies. And it does get me a bit angry when I hear people flippantly say, oh, go and drop bombs on them or nuke them or whatever, you know. It's not very pleasant when you're on the other end of it, you know. But it was something that I wasn't. We all had to go through here, and a lot of people have been through a lot worse. But not nice.
You are a very well-known actress in England. You're less familiar, I think, to Americans. Mm-hmm. Would you like to do more American films? And have you tried to have more of a presence here?
No, I haven't. I must say my family and my home has always come first, and I can't imagine a situation where that will change. I creep out and do a bit of work from time to time, but I'm not career orientated in that way. I don't sit down and plan my career, what am I going to do next. If something comes along and I'm interested in doing it, I would do it. And if it doesn't, I'm very happy to potter around.
After having worked with Samuel Beckett for so long, do you feel that there's things that you used to do with him that you now apply to the way you interpret roles in movies?
Yes, actually, my husband says to me, will you stop tackling every role as though you were doing a one-woman Beckett monstrosity? By that, I mean a sort of a mountain of a role. I'm apt to bring a sledgehammer sometimes to a role when it doesn't really need it. And I've got to stop doing that. I really have got to stop doing that. That's only my own anxiety. I'm so used to girding my loins to tackle a very difficult role that sometimes I will have to say, I say to myself, well, it doesn't need all this energy from me to do this. I can just relax, and it's not as hard as I think it is. With Beckett, it was as hard as I thought it was.
Maybe that's what comes through in the role that makes your performances so special.
Well, it's not from lack of doing my homework, I must say. It's made me, I sort of lock myself away in a room and work like a demon when I'm asked to do a role. I mean, far more than is very often necessary, but perhaps I'll get over that, I hope.
Billy Whitelaw, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you.
And Billy Whitelaw stars in the new movie, The Craze, and she spoke to us from the NPR Bureau in London.